We had a great YWAP on Friday. Good times. If you were here, you know, it was a lot of fun. After YWAP, we meandered home eventually, and about midnight on Friday night, we decided it was time to go to bed at our house. And so I started walking back to my bedroom, and I passed a door to my left, which is usually where my son used to be when he was home, and I heard this dunk, 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 very consistent, dunk, dunk. I checked my heart. It wasn't that. And so I stepped in the room, and sure enough, it just was got louder, dunk, dunk, dunk. I said, you know, you're not supposed to have a dunk, dunk, dunk at your house unless something's wrong. So I walked into my bedroom. The dunk was not there. I went into the bathroom, which is connected to that bedroom, and there wasn't a noise in there. And I kept walking around. I went outside looking for the noise. I couldn't see anything on top of the roof that was making any noise. And so I said, oh, no, it's inside. Something's happening inside the roof. And this is midnight. This is about 12:30 now. And so I'd already locked the door, set the alarm. I unlocked everything. And Dan is, in the meantime, watching me, wondering what is happening with me. And so I opened up the door, went outside, went to the garage, got this massive ladder, brought it inside. And that's when she really began to wonder what was going on. And I propped it into the inside where they have a little hole and walked into the ceiling. And sure enough, I could see that there was a puddle of water on top of the ceiling over that room. And water was dripping and filling it. There was about 2 liters of water. And I thought, my goodness, what the heck is going on? And I couldn't figure it out. So I looked in the roof, nothing, couldn't find a hole. And then I said, what is causing this problem? And I was having a major, I don't know what's going on moment. And so I looked around. And finally, when I did this with my hand, I felt this slight little sprinkle of water emanating from someplace. And sure enough, I followed that with my hand down. It's this really pinch, light spray of water. I followed it all the way down. And my hand went to the valve, the pressure valve of the hot water heater geyser that had sprung a little leak. And a little hairline crack, just shooting a little thin line of water. On purpose, purposefully avoiding the drip pan under the geyser, you know. Yeah. Very ambitious geyser. So no, we're not going to use the drop pan. That would actually have saved the ceiling. And anyway, so I'm sitting there going, I don't know what this is. What is going on here? How do I fix this? This is not okay. And by then it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm exhausted. And so I took a picture of where the water was coming from, turned the water off to the geyser. This story won't take too much longer, church. Just stay with me. And began to ask God what to do next. I didn't know it was a pressure valve. I don't know you call that little piece a pressure valve, all right? And so I started looking up on YouTube and ChatGPT and all kinds of things to figure out, give me a diagram of a geyser. I almost called my dear friend Pete Fontamelva, but I thought not to do that to him at 1 o'clock in the morning because he would know what it was called. He would have come out and helped me too because I know this guy. So I took the picture of everything, turned the water off, and went to bed. It was about 2 a.m. And then thought, well, I got to get up next morning and see. I thought, maybe I can buy whatever this thing is and replace it and fix it. And so I got up in the morning, and I began praying and asking God, where should I get this part? And God very clearly said to me, don't waste your time at Lifestyle Center. Go straight to the main Pupkewitz. And so I went to the Pupkewitz Hardware downtown, walked in, and talked to a few people, and they said, yes, this man over here can help you. And I showed him a picture of the part, and he said, yes, follow me. And I don't know why he becomes Russian in my story, but anyway, follow me. I'll take you to the right place. Yes. So I followed him through the store, and he took me to where there's a big warehouse. And instead of going into the warehouse to find this part for me, he turns, and he opens up a little white closet door that is by the warehouse. He opens that up. Walks in, closes the door behind him, takes a box, comes back out, closes the door, and says, this is what you need. And opened it up, and sure enough, it was exactly the part. And I said, that's it? Yeah, that's it. That's all you need. I said, okay. And I said, give me another one. Yeah. So he went and got another one for me, and I was out of there in about 10 minutes, got home, was able to replace the part in 10 minutes. That's how fast it took. And I'm grateful that God was, you know, takes care of people like me that don't know. I'm not a plumber. Don't have any aspirations to be a plumber or to memorize the names. I'm going to try to see if I can remember the name that this is a pressure valve from now on. I'm going to remember that. Okay. And I have an extra one too, so if I have a problem. Does God actually speak to us in that way and help us in those moments? Yes, he does. He absolutely does. And if you don't know that God, the one who helps you in those moments, you need to get to know him. The I don't know moments can be answered by God. If you're willing to have a relationship with him, if you're willing to be in conversation with him, Jesus is more than willing to have a conversation with you. This is really what he wants to do in relationship with us. Not just that he saves us from hell, and that's it, but he wants us to be in relationship with him, constant conversation relating to him. And he wants to comfort us. He wants to help us. He wants to lead us. John 16 says this, verse 12, there is so much more I want to tell you. I love that. This New Living Translation translates this this way. It says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Jesus walked the earth. Jesus came. He spoke directly to his people. And he said, but there's more I want to tell you. So I'm going to go. So the helper, the Spirit of God can come, be part of your life, and speak to you on a regular basis. There are many of us in the room today who would say, oh, no, that's not how he works. There was a time when Jesus did this, when the Holy Spirit spoke to his people, but that time is over. That moment has passed. I'm going to encourage you this morning to not believe that lie. Maybe it's your experience that you don't hear his voice. Maybe it's your experience that you don't experience his direction and leadership in your life. But don't make a theology around your experience. I would encourage you to develop a theology and a doctrine that's based on what God has already said, the Word of God. God very clearly teaches that we can experience his presence. We can hear him actively day by day. And God cares about every issue of our life. Our God's capacity is big enough. He loves us deeply. He loves every aspect, every part of us. And he cares about even when the plumbing is broken. And he says, here, go here instead of here, because you're not going to waste time here. Go here. That's how God works. It could be this morning that you believe that God exists, but that he's really never intervenes in our lives anymore. It's just that he exists, and he just sort of pushed a button, and life began, and is going to progress until it's over, but that he doesn't interact with us. Then you would be a deist. You would believe that God exists, but that he's not actively involved in our lives. You could also be stuck with this sort of a rationalist view of life that possibly God exists, but that everything works off of the laws of nature, and there's going to be no divergence from that whatsoever. But the clear teaching of Scripture tells us over and over again that is not how he works. That he longs to speak to us daily, to have this ongoing conversation. I hope this morning that you experience that kind of relationship. And the reason why this is an important conversation for us is because, first of all, Jesus does speak to us. He wants to be in a relationship with us. That's the main important reason. And you're missing out if you don't experience this in your life. But it's possible because of your belief system, you have closed the door of that conversation. And you're not really sure now if God is really worth continuing to follow. You're not really sure if that day when you gave your life to Christ that it was a genuine thing and that you're going to keep following him. You're having second thoughts about whether you should follow God anymore because you're not hearing his voice, because you're not experiencing him daily. And you can make a strong case based on your particular situation that God doesn't exist, that he doesn't love us. I'm going to encourage you to rethink that this morning, because that is not the teaching of God's word, that we are invited into an ongoing, consistent relationship. Paul used the term, we pray without stopping, we pray without ceasing. Constant conversation with the Father. And we see this pattern in Scripture that he continued after Pentecost. He continues to speak to us and to speak to his people and lead them and guide them in every step of their lives. Now, Jesus instructed the apostles to wait for it. Go. Expect the Holy Spirit to come. Why would Jesus create such great anticipation for this moment when we would be walking close with the Spirit of God daily? Why would he create that anticipation if it wasn't true? Why would he have said that? Why is it in Scripture if it's not true? The book of Acts is a series of like about 27 years worth of stories, the book of Acts. And you see throughout the book of Acts, as the church was emerging and growing and multiplying exponentially, you see this constant leadership of the Holy Spirit at every step of the way. Just quickly, Acts 2, Pentecost, right? Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes, filling the disciples and enabling them to speak in other languages. First, Acts 4, verse 8, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly speaks to the Sanhedrin. You will not see that on the screen. Acts 7, verse 55, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, sees the glory of God and Jesus standing at God's right hand. We see the Spirit of God not limiting himself just to the original apostles, but he's moving in those who have followed him, and he's leading his people throughout. Acts 10, the Spirit tells Peter to go from with the men sent by Cornelius without hesitation. The Holy Spirit, in that instance, helps Peter step out of his cultural understanding and norms and step into something that's new for him. But he follows the leadership of the Spirit of God. Acts 13, the believers are gathered together. People from all over, different nations, are coming together and they're praying and asking what they should do next. And the Holy Spirit chooses Barnabas and Saul and sends them out on their first missionary journey. And it just goes on, Acts 15, Acts 16, Acts 19, Acts 20. Acts 21, disciples in Tyre, through the Spirit, urge Paul not to go to Jerusalem. The prophet Agabus, prompted by the Spirit, foretells Paul's arrest. Acts focuses on a span of about 27 years. We have so much evidence in the Bible that this time of God speaking to us continues and is intentional for us today, that we can have this consistent relationship with Christ where he leads us, tells us literally what step to take and what not to take. The Spirit leads by empowering, guiding, speaking, forbidding, and sending, and comforting. He's not called the Wonderful Counselor because he doesn't give any counsel. The Wonderful Counselor actually gives us counsel. He speaks to us. He works with us. So I want to invite you to that relationship. If you're wondering about your faith today, if you're wondering about whether you should continue following him, stop. Have a conversation with God. Listen to him. Do what he says. Begin to experience that sweetness. I love the song by Jen Johnson, The Goodness of God, that says, I love your voice. You've led me through the fire in the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, she says. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Are you living in the goodness of God this morning? Are you experiencing that? Or have you cut off that relationship? And now you're wondering if it's really worth it. Jesus invites us in those moments, all moments, but especially in those I don't know moments. What a horrible place to be, isn't it? We all have those moments. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. What job are you going to take? I don't know. What's the meaning of life? I'm not sure. The I don't know moments. Am I ever going to be married? I don't know. Am I going to ever be happy? I don't know. What's the point of life? I don't know. I know that this is what I do know, is that everyone in this room, every one of us has had those moments of I don't know. And they're not fun. They're frustrating times. When is God going to relieve the suffering I'm experiencing? I don't know. When am I going to have peace even though my circumstances have not changed? I don't know. But you know who knows? God knows. Jesus knows. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Talk to me. I will speak to you. I will tell you things that are you've not heard. Incredible, exciting things. I will instruct you in the way you should go. Every step. This is the promise of our God. We see this has always been the heart of God to interact directly with us. You can make a case that, well, no, that wasn't always the case. But you see this in the Old Testament. You see that he's been reaching his people, wants to communicate with them. He calls them priests. Exodus 19, the story of the people of Israel, Exodus 19, verse 6. This is what God says to Moses to tell the people. It says, and you will be my kingdom of what? Priest, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. A priest is someone who's an intermediary, right? Someone who has a conversation with God and then relays that message to themselves and to others. Priest, the in-between, the one who has direct conversations with God. This is the invitation of God, and it has always been, that his people would be able to have that direct conversation with him. So in this particular instance, Moses tells the people, and they say, come, we're going to go to the mountain, and we're going to hear from God. They're invited to come and listen. But when they hear the thunder and the noise and the craziness, the power, the magnitude of who God is, they get scared and they say, please, Moses, this is too frightening for us. Just speak to us directly. And maybe that's how we are too. We're possibly afraid of who God is, afraid of what he might say, and we would rather hear it from someone else maybe who has that direct relationship, that direct relationship with God. This is what God says about Moses, Exodus 33. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. This direct face-to-face conversation, we know the word there in the Hebrew, in the original language, face-to-face really means an intimate relationship with God, not necessarily that they were looking at each other face to face, but in English, we've translated this into face to face. And it can mean that, but in this instance, we know for a fact it does not, but that it does mean this intimate relationship, conversational moment with God. The Greek word here is panem el panem. It's an interesting word, but it indicates that the Lord spoke to Moses directly as one speaks to a friend. The Lord spoke to Moses personally and openly as a friend speaks to a friend. The Lord spoke with Moses intimately, in a way that was clear and direct. But God, on purpose, did not allow him to see his face because it would kill him. Too frightening, too amazing. But he did have that relationship, very personal relationship. And this is where you and I have questions, right? Then how can I hear the voice of God? How can I have a conversation with God? What does this look like practically? If it would kill us to see the face of God, then what's the plan? Well, Paul, when he wrote this and broke this down and tried to interpret the life of Moses in his world, this is what he said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 11. So if the old days, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence so we can be very bold, we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. So let's pause this for a second. Let's keep this on the screen. So what Paul is writing is saying, look, like Moses, who had face-to-face, then he was then, not because he chose it, but because the people were unwilling to have a conversation with God directly. He became the one who exclusively heard from God, came out, and then spoke. But because he had been in the presence of God, he began to shine, which some of us would call that Shekinah glory, but this incredible glory. And so Aaron said, listen, you are so bright when you come out. Could you please cover yourself? So Moses wore a veil when he came out, having been in the presence of God, and he spoke to the people with a veil over his face. What Paul is saying here is that the invitation of God is still with us, that we are invited to be a kingdom of priests, where the veil is now lifted and we step ourselves into the presence of God and hear directly from Him. And the veil is removed only by believing in Christ. The veil is removed only when we are in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are what? Covered. They're covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It's possible this morning that maybe you still have that veil on this morning. Maybe you're going, I don't really know if this is true. Verse 17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So we're invited to come into His presence by believing in Christ, become His child, and what's removed? The veil. So we can have direct conversation with God. In some traditions call this the priesthood of the believer, in that we become the ones who speak directly with the Father. We have direct communication. Now we can choose, which often we do, to only hear from God through others. Matter of fact, we try to seek those people who we believe have a direct line to God, and we ask, could you please tell me what God is saying? Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. We'll talk about that in just a second. But there is something wrong when you do not understand that you yourself can have a direct relationship with God. And you're missing out on life by not having this continual, constant conversation with God. And look, even with the veil removed, Paul goes on to clarify this to make sure there's no confusion. Our hearing is not perfect, right? None of us have perfect hearing when it comes to understanding the things of God, but it's almost perfect. It's close. We're asked to test what we are hearing, and right now we see really things sort of like in a dim reflection. I'll give you a little picture here of this. I think this is all of us. A child, we often feel like children, not knowing anything, and we're seeing, we're trying to hear from God, we're asking God to help us, but we have this dim understanding of who He is, and I think all of us can relate to that. We're trying to see clearly, but this is how we see. So we're encouraged to seek after Him. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. There's going to be a day when everything is absolutely clear, but that's after you die. In the meantime, we're here. We're in this realm. What do we do? Well, we see in the mirror dimly, but at least we see dimly, right? And we're invited. I think often we see like this picture, but I think as we seek His face, we'll see like this picture. Yeah, things will clear up when we're invited. He says, come into my presence, seek my face. That's me, by the way, on the left. Yeah. Evidence. Just every now and again, I want to throw pictures up to let you know I used to have hair. That's true. But I was never a musician. Never a musician. We're invited to be both intimate with God to the degree that He allows, right? We're invited, but also to participate in the accountability of the community that checks whether this is truly the word from God. God's going to speak to us directly, and He's going to speak to us through community, through the church. And we need this. As a church, we are one in Christ, and we need to hear from Christ together. This church has some big decisions to make, by the way, that we need to hear from Him clearly. And God knows exactly what this church needs to do. And so we don't need to be frustrated or stressed. We just need to come to Him and hear from Him. We'll be moving out of this building at some point. Right now, where it stands is that possibly we may have some extension next year to stay in this building, but that's not firm yet. We have some other options that we're looking at right now, some good options. We do have a plan that January the 1st we can move into a facility. And I'm not going to tell you all the details now. I can speak to you individually, but God has just opened some doors for us from very sweet people in this church who helped us with some options. But I do want to invite you to pray with us about this. This will impact you as well. We need to ask God clearly what we're supposed to do. And so as you begin praying and pray with us about this, God tells you something, come and tell us. We want to hear from you. And we want to do this together. We have been now for a while as a church in the I don't know phase of what's next. And it's not a lot of fun. I don't know. But Jesus knows. And although we don't know all the specific ways it's going to come, we do know that Jesus knows exactly how it's going to happen. And that he will let us know when we need to know. So we seek his face in the meantime. We see in a mirror dimly. And so we need to seek him. We still need his voice in our life. And right now, let's be grateful for at least the dim perspective that we have. It's better than complete darkness, right? And let's walk together in this dim reflection times of our life. And let's seek the Lord. God will tell you, and at some point, as we seek his face, the dim will become clear as to exactly what we're supposed to do. That's how he works. That's how God works in our life. We're supposed to check these things. If you tell me, God told me this, we're going to check it. If you feel like God has told you something, you need to check it. 1 John 4:1 says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. In your search for truth, you're going to meet a lot of people who are not from God. You probably know their names right now. As I put that out there, you probably have spoken to some people that have told you some interesting things, and you know for a fact it's not from God. So let me help you. People are laughing out there. You better believe it, man. I've really been taking We've been down these roads. All of us have, listening to people that are not from God. So we need to test everything we hear. And there's this accountability and testing that takes place in the body of Christ, this church, as we hear from God. And God's going to speak to us. He's not going to be divided. He's not going to be chaotic as he speaks to us. So let me give you a few tests here. I have a list here of tests for us as you consider hearing the voice of God. First of all, the scripture test. Is what you're hearing, does it align with scripture? And this is really probably the most significant test of anything that you're hearing. God never contradicts his word, ever. God's not going to tell you something that is actually not in the Bible. One man told me that he had been told by God that he needed to divorce his wife to find some other woman. And I told him, that is not from God. There's no way God would ever tell you to leave this, to leave your marriage. Unless if there was an abuse or something, but a biblical reason why. But in his case, there was no reason. Tell him straight up, this is not from God. Word of God does not support that. Isaiah 8:20 says, look to God's instructions and teaching. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark, Isaiah says. If you contradict the word of God, you are completely in the dark. And then the Jesus test. Does it reflect the character of Jesus? If what you're hearing, is this really the character of Jesus that you're hearing? Jesus is the clearest revelation of God. If what you hear doesn't match the nature of Jesus, it is not from God. If a thought is harsh, condemning, or full of fear, it is not from Jesus, who speaks with grace and truth. Jesus always speaks to us the truth, but he does so with love and compassion. John 10, verse 27 said, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Does this resonate with the character of Jesus? Whatever you're hearing in your head, and we have voices, right? We don't need some false prophet to talk to us. We can lie to ourselves. We're good at it. And there's this voice, we have several voices that compete in our minds. Our own voice that is a product of our whole heritage and our whole life and whatever truth and lies we've believed our entire life, that voice is very loud. We hear possibly the voice of a significant leader in our life, a mom or a dad or an uncle or a teacher. We hear those voices. And so we need to discern then what is actually the voice of God in our lives. And Jesus invites us to tune in to him. The fruit test, does it produce godly fruit? Is what God's voice produces peace, joy, righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. Is God's voice leading you to his fruit? Satan's voice always leads to fear. Satan's voice always leads to confusion, to pride. Satan's voice will lead to destruction as well. So test it. Test it. If you feel a prompting that drives you towards selfishness, a prompting that leads you to bitterness, a prompting that leads you to fear, it is not from God. God will never invite you into constant, consistent bitterness, anger, and fear. That is not from God. James 3:17 says that the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. James 3:17. The peace test. Does it bring the peace of God? God's voice brings peace. Even in hard decisions, there is a peace of, no, I know this is a difficult one. This wouldn't be my first choice, but I have the peace of the Lord in this direction. And God will give you that peace. That no, walk this way. I know it's a hard decision, but and you'll experience the peace of God. If a thought causes panic, confusion, or dread, it may not be from God. 1 Corinthians 14, 33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. The obedience test, does it lead to greater faithfulness? The voice you're hearing, does it lead you to be more in line with God's principles, to obey him more consistently, to follow him more dearly? Is that the voice you're hearing? Or is the voice you're hearing what actually giving you an excuse to be a rebel, to do everything but the will of God? That it's not from God. God's voice leads to obedience and holiness, not sin. If a message that you're hearing excuses or rationalizes your sin, then it's not from God. Here's an example. God just wants you to be happy. Ignore what the Bible says about sin. God just wants you to be happy. After all, you're a man. You have needs. You're a woman. You have needs. Yeah, the Bible says that, but he wants you to be happy. That's not from God. It's not from God. The confirmation test. God does want you to be happy, by the way. That's true. The confirmation test. Does it align with wise counsel? When I get to within the body of Christ and I share this, what I've heard from God, does it resonate with everybody else that's also listening to the Spirit of God? One of the things we do when we get in I don't know moments, some of us quickly go and get help from somebody. That's kind of how I'm wired. I will ask anybody, can you help me with this? If I'm lost, I'll stop and talk to a complete stranger and say, tell me, do you know where this is? And they look at me like, why are you talking to me? Because I'm lost. But many of us are not wired like that. We don't ask anyone for help at all. We isolate ourselves when we get into trouble. And it's one thing to isolate yourself from others, from people, when you're in a difficult situation. But it's a whole other thing to isolate yourself from God. Like, I'm going to pull away from God until I get my act together, then I'm going to come back to God. No. You need to come to God the moment there's an issue, because Jesus loves you. Jesus will provide the way out. Jesus will help you have the strength to face whatever it is that you're dealing with, even if it's a temptation to to sin. God will give you what you need. And so the invitation is, the test is, will this, if I test this with the body of Christ, will it still come out the same way that I heard it? It's in community often that Jesus Christ speaks to us. And so he invites us. That's why church is so important. Coming together as the body of Christ is so important so that we can hear from Christ together. The confirmation test. Does it align with wise counsel? God confirms his direction through the Bible, through wise believers, through circumstances. If it's truly from God, it will often be confirmed by the body of Christ. And so we're invited to bring that together, to have people pray with you. We are invited to be both intimate with God to the degree that he allows, but also participate in the accountability of community. The community helps check whether this is truly a word from God. God will speak often only through community, not just to us individually. And so check this with the body of Christ. Whenever you hear a voice, have an impression, or sense God speaking, apply these tests. And over again, you'll see that this will be the key to really hearing clearly, crisply from the Lord. The invitation is still there, people. Church, invitation. God wants to help you with I don't know moments. I don't know. Jesus knows. Come to him. Speak to him. Have a constant conversation with him. Let me just leave you with this. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. This darkness, this confusion, this fog can only be lifted with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once you've given your life to him, once you've entered into that relationship, you need to consistently have that relationship with him. I want to say it again to us. God's design was never only to save you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Constant relationship with you. To be in communication with you. That's the invitation. Let's bring our I don't know moments to God. I would imagine that this morning, many of you are having an I don't know moment. Would you be willing to seek his face now? Let's bow. Lord Jesus, we give you praise. I ask God that you would prompt our church this morning to bring their I don't know to you. And I ask God that you would speak clearly to us this morning. Lord, on all the many, many issues that we deal with and struggle with, God, help us to hear you and see you clearly. Lord, thank you. You know what my next minute is supposed to be. Lord, thank you that you know exactly what I need to say to someone in this room. How I need to be a better friend to somebody. How I need to hear someone's heart. Lord, how I need to celebrate with someone or how I need to cry with somebody. Lord, you know exactly what I need to do. Lord, we ask that you would continue to help us to hear you. And Lord, we commit as a church to seek your face. Lord, you said if we seek you, we will find you and you will speak to us. So I ask that in Jesus' name today. And Lord, I want to praise you for speaking in the I don't know moments. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for helping us fix our plumbing. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to know where to park. And Lord, thank you for helping us to know how to navigate very difficult relationships. Lord, thank you that you love us. It's in your name I pray. Amen.